Members, you are asked to notify the clerk in advance of today's meeting to advise any declarations of interest. Councillors, if you believe you have an interest that you have not notified the clerk of, please indicate such via the chat function. I will give you 30 seconds.
Chairman, just to confirm that I haven't received anything up to now.
Okay. Clark, can you read out any declaration of interest that you have received? This is to follow the time of the chat function to catch up with the advice of any other members who have any other declarations. Clark?
No.
No. Urgent business. Clark, can you advise if there are any urgent business?
I've not received anything.
Thank you. Title of the application, confirm who is speaking and in what capacity. Debbie, just a moment, sorry about this. Title of the application, to determine an application for adult gambling centre premises licensed under section 159 of the Gambling Act 205. Harbour Lights Amusements, Peter Pan's Funfair and Amusements Esplanade Ride, Isle of Wight, Popper Oscar 33, sorry, I beg your pardon, PO331AG. Did we all hear that? I take it you did.
Thank you, Chair.
Debbie Bollard, on behalf of the applicant, Floyd Hyatt, the applicant, Michael Lilly, on behalf of Rye Town Council. Statements will be read out from Stella Davis, Rye Society, and a Marine Martin objector. This will come later. I will now ask the legal officer to read out the following. Mr. Gard, could you please read out the following? It starts, no parties.
Thank you, Chairman. Of course, I understand that all the parties to these proceedings have received copies of the procedure. And just to clarify that no party has the absolute right to cross-examine any other party. This hearing shall take the form of a discussion led by the authority, and cross-examination shall not be permitted unless the authority considers that it's required for it to properly determine the representations in the application or notice. An equal maximum period of time will be given to the parties in which to present their case and provide any further information considered relevant to the application or the promotion of the licensing objectives. Persons speaking can amplify their original representations. However, any new evidence that does not form part of their representation may not be taken into account.
I will ask you...
That's our procedure.
Thank you, Mr. Gard. I will ask participants, do they understand the procedure of the hearing? If I don't have any voice, I will take it that you understand. I will give you 30 seconds.
I understand.
Thank you. Licensing officer, will you summarise your report? Claire Thomas?
Sure, thank you, Chair. Can everybody see that okay? Yep.
Yes, I can.
Great. Okay, Mr. Hyatt has applied for an adult gaming centre premises licence under the Gambling Act 2005. The premises he wishes to licence are situated along the Esplanade in Ryde within a children's fairground known as Peter Pan's. Under the Gambling Act, there are several different premises licences that can be applied for. Depending on the activities that will be taking place at the premises, and gaming machines are categorised depending on the maximum stake and prize that can be won. The type and number of gaming machines permitted under each licence varies, as shown in this chart. So a family entertainment centre with a permit can provide an unlimited number of Category D machines. A family entertainment centre with a licence has no limit on Category D machines, and they can also provide a limited number of Category C machines, but these are to be separated as they are only permitted to be played by adults. and an adult gaming centre, which is what this premises licence application relates to, has no limit on category G machines. No limit on category C machines, but they must also be in a separate area, and then a maximum of 20% of the total number of gaming machines at the premises can be a category B3 or category B4 machines. But again, these must be in a separate area, as these are only to be played by over 18s. At Peter Pan's, there is currently a family entertainment centre permit in place. This authorises an unlimited number of category D machines, as I've just explained. These have a maximum prize of up to £10 in money, depending on the type of gaming. The applicant proposes to operate an adult gaming centre within the same building as shown on the plan, on pages B19 and B20 of the committee report, and also I'll put these on the screen for you. An adult gaming centre allows a portion of the machines to be category B4 or B3. These can have a maximum prize of £500. Following submission of an application, there is a 28-day consultation period. Any responsible authorities or interested parties can make representations during this time. No responsible authorities have submitted representations regarding this application. Objections have been received, however, from a number of interested parties. Please note that the impact on the regeneration of an area is not a relevant matter when determining this application. The concerns raised that the committee must consider are that the proposed gambling facilities will increase crime and disorder in the area, and there are also concerns that the premises are within a children's fairground, and that the wider vicinity is an area of deprivation. It is therefore believed that the proposed gambling activities in this location could compromise the Gambling Act objective to protect children and vulnerable people from harm. Whilst there is no definition of vulnerable persons, Section 5.17 of the guidance makes reference to this group, and it states, people who gamble more than they want to, people who gamble beyond their means, and people who may not be able to make informed or balanced decisions about gambling due to, for example, mental health, a learning disability, a substance misuse related to alcohol or drugs. Information contained within the committee report at paragraphs 39 to 41 regarding deprivation and ride and the local area profile. The national guidance also states in section 5.18 that there may be local risks and that these can be reflected in the statement of licensing policy. There is no reference to any specific risks or deprivation in our current policy. The applicant has provided their risk assessment as required, which can be found at pages B21 to 23 of the report. The risk assessment summarises several mitigating factors that the applicant will have in place. Several are also required by conditions they have provided their operating procedures as well. I have advised the applicant that I believe the risk of children entering the premises is higher than low, as stated in their risk assessment, which they have noted. In relation to access to these premises, it is a requirement of the legislation that there be no direct access between family entertainment centres and adult gaming centres. The subcommittee, however, should be aware that Arcadia, situated closer to the town centre, further along the Esplanade in Ryde, already operate under a family entertainment centre permit and an adult gaming centre premises licence in a similar way to that proposed in this application. Sandown Pier also operate under the same authorisations. As there is no case law to give a legal definition of direct access, similar layout designs have been permitted elsewhere on the island previously, as well as in other council district areas. The licensing subcommittee are required today to determine the application for an adult gaming centre premises licence. They must have regard to all the evidence heard, the national guidance, as well as the council's own statement of licensing policy. The committee are obliged to determine the application with a view to promoting the licensing objectives. These are preventing gambling from being a source of crime or disorder, being associated with crime or disorder, or being used to support crime, ensuring that gambling is conducted in a fair and open way, and protecting children and other vulnerable persons from being harmed or exploited by gambling. terms of their determination, the subcommittee have several options today. They may grant the licence application, they may reject the licence application, or they may grant the licence with additional conditions or exclude a condition that would otherwise automatically be attached. If committee members wish to refer to the conditions that would automatically be attached to the licence, these can be found on page B43 of their committee report. The committee must ensure that they give the reasons for whatever decision they make today. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Claire Thomas. I will now ask Councillor Beston first, and then I will go to Councillor Howe. Do you have any questions at this point of the licensing officer?
No, Chair, not at this point, thank you.
Councillor Howe?
No, not at this moment, Chairman, but I would like the opportunity of asking Claire Thomas a question later on.
You will have that, Councillor Howe. Excuse me. Mr. Garr, do you have any questions at this point?
Nothing for me, thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. I will ask the applicant, will they present their case? It's my understanding that Debbie Bollard will be presenting the case. And am I to understand, may I call you Debbie? Mr. Floyd Hyatt going to be coming in on this or not?
My understanding was that he had managed to get in, but if he's not showing up in the meeting, then I assume he's still struggling with IT issues.
Right, so can I take it that you will be presenting the case on behalf of Mr. Floyd Hyatt? Debbie Bollard.
That's correct. Yes.
Thank you. Would you please present the case for the applicant?
Okay, so the application, as you know, is submitted by Dream Bay Limited. I'm representing the company. It's a family-based business. They've been operating arcades on the South Coast, the family, for a number of years. And the family has also operated the Peter Pan Playground for the last three generations. The idea of applying for the agency premises licence was to extend the facilities that were available for families to use within the playground, to have a small area where the adults could go in and use higher jackpot machines. We've already seen the stakes and prizes that have been presented by Claire Thomas today for gaming machines that can be used. Children are already able to use Category D gaming machines within the premises. There's no intention that children should be able to use Category C or Category B3 gaming machines that would be made available in the adult gaming centre area. It should also be pointed out that stakes and prizes that are made available in the adult gaming centre are significantly less than in other areas of gambling, for example, casinos, bingo and online gambling. My client is a member of BACTA, the industry trade organisation that represents all gambling, the majority of gambling businesses that operate within the UK, and they set down codes of practice and strict guidelines as how adult gaming centres, family entertainment centres, both licensed and unlicensed, should operate. My client's family, excuse me, have been members of BACTA for many years, and they have never been reprimanded by BACTA for the way in which they run their arcades. The strict policies that BACTA expect their members to apply to include guidance and policies on how children should be protected, and those are consistent with the Gambling Act licensing objectives. They have a Challenge 25 policy. They also expect that any what are known as fruit Category D gaming machines, so those are Category D gaming machines that are not pushes and cranes but reel based machines, can only be played by children under the age of 16 if they have an adult with them. And that is a voluntary code that's being introduced, emphasising the need to protect children. As far as protecting vulnerable people is concerned, my client has policies in place to ensure that anybody who may display signs of problem gambling will be interacted with as and when necessary. So if anybody shows signs of distress, spending more time or money than they would normally expect, then a member of staff should approach that vulnerable, that person, and talk to them, ask them whether they're still experiencing this as fun or whether the use of the gaming machine is a problem for them. They will be offered the opportunity to self-exclude, not only from the arcade itself, but under what's known as a multi-operator self-exclusion scheme, which operates nationally by BACTA and by IHL Smart Self-Exclusion. And that would be for a minimum of 6 months, maximum of a year, with opportunity to extend further afterwards. If they don't want to go to self-exclusion initially, then there is also the opportunity to put times in place and also limit the amount of money that they would use on the machines. So my client, it has policies and procedures in place that would look after both children and vulnerable people, and particularly protect children from entering the adult gaming centre itself. As far as the, so if we then go on to the size of the AGC itself compared to the site in total, my client has provided me with figures today that show that the AGC would actually only be 7% of the arcade itself, so that's the total area for the unlicensed FEC and the AGC together, and in fact it would only cover 1.5% of the entire Peter Pan playground. I want to emphasise that because this is not a large gambling arcade that my client is offering. It is a small area for adults to go to who want to spend £2 from time to time to with the opportunity to win a £500 jackpot. Now, I'm not local to the area. I haven't been to the Isle of Wight yet, unfortunately. I had hoped to come down at the end of March to see the island, but my client does tell me that within 200 yards of the arcade, there is another premises, a bowling alley, which already operates Category C and Category D gaming machines under a licensed premises gaming machine permit, which would be granted to a premises that has an alcohol license, and that those are readily open to the public. The Category C gaming machines in a pub don't have to be in a barriered off place, whereas they would in the adult gaming centre, which my client offers, will be offering, so there would be more protection there. The application process my client has followed to the letter. There's been no complaints about any defect in the way the application has been submitted and processed. So now it is down to the representations that have been received. And my client wants to make it clear that they will do everything to ensure that the licensing objectives are going to be upheld, and that their policies and procedures that they have already in place in their other arcade will be used within the arcade at Peter Pan's if the license is granted. My client's undertaken a full risk assessment, and it's acknowledged that the licensing officer believes the risk to children is more than low, and therefore it's acknowledged that that would be changed to medium. But my client has enough policies and procedures in place to protect children with floor walkers and CCTV. The area is also screened off, as you saw in the schematic diagram attached to the plan. My client acknowledges that there are problems with people suffering from gambling addiction, but does not believe that its premises will in any way significantly add to any problem that might be suggested is with gambling. In fact, the truth is that most of the problem gambling these days is from online, where stakes and prizes are unlimited. Nevertheless, it takes its its obligations to protect vulnerable people seriously and will ensure that it does everything to protect those people. So in summary, I just want to make clear the applicant, my client, is authorised by the Gambling Commission to operate a premises, having demonstrated to the Gambling Commission a clear set of policies. It wouldn't have been given the operating licence by the Gambling Commission if they weren't satisfied that it was capable of running a premises compliantly. My client's also a member of BACTA and it complies with those codes of practice and promotes the licensing objectives. All staff that will be working at the arcade will be trained on induction and will have annual training and further training if it becomes necessary. There have been no representations made from any of the responsible authorities during this application process, and that includes children safeguarding. There are similar venues in the island and close by that have a similar scheme to my client with an adult gaming centre and an unlicensed FEC. To refuse the application today would not sit squarely with Section 153 of the Gambling Act, which says that the licensing authority should aim to permit gambling unless one of the four conditions set out in Section 153 is not complied with, and there's been no evidence adduced in any of the representations that my client would not be able to comply with those. A final point I would like to ask is that in the event that a licence is granted today, I would request that under Section 208 of the Gambling Act, subsection 2, that the authority direct that the premises could continue to operate in the event that an appeal was made by one of those making representations to date under Section 206. Thank you.
Thank you, and Debbie Wallard. That was a very clear and came over very well. I will now ask the committee members in turn if they have any questions of the applicant. After asking those members, I will then give the opportunity to Mr. Gard to make any comments that he may wish after the applicant has responded. Councillor Beston.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. And good morning, Debbie.
Good morning.
Hello. I have several questions regarding the plan of the proposed ADC area. I hope you can answer for me. There's a proposal for an NDF screening. The height, unfortunately, I don't have here. It's been erased out. So I'm just wondering, first off, if you could confirm the height of the NDF screening and the glass partitions above that, whether that's clear glass or opaque.
So the MDF would be a metre high. That's the standard that arcades put in, and then a frosted 1 metre glass normally on top of that.
Thank you.
The idea is to screen so that the children won't even be able to see into the arcade.
Absolutely. Thank you. And can you explain the sterile area on the plan, please?
So the purpose of the sterile area has been introduced by a number of operators, in fact many operators around the UK. This is the area which means that there is no direct access between the unlicensed FEC and the adult gaming centre and its requirement under the Gambling Act.
Thank you very much.
Are there any further questions, Councillor Beston, at this point?
Yes, Chair. The proposed gaming machines themselves within that proposed area, how will they be sited? Are they will be placed facing inwards or facing outwards so they're partially visible?
No. So there will be a wall around the entire site, and then all the gaming machines will be turned into the centre, so their backs are.
Thank you. And the risk assessment refers to CCTV within the site. Is there a CCTV camera actually pointing to the proposed AGC area?
Claire, we sent in a diagram with where the CCTV cameras were on. Did we not? Sorry, can you just bear with me and I'll see if I can...
Yes, you did. Do you want me to find it and share it?
Yes, please, that would be great.
If you bear with me one moment. It's on the wrong side. Can you bear with me 1 second while I just rotate it?
Okay, Claire, we're with you.
Right. Clear.
Yes, so this I can see the image now, so there are
it's just coming up now.
Is it red?
Yeah, there we go.
Are we waiting for the image, Claire?
Can you see that okay?
So yes, Claire. Can we all see this image, please?
Yes, thank you, Chairman.
Yes, Chairman.
So you can see you've got one in the top right, top left-hand corner of the AGC, and then one facing across the doorway.
Okay, that's fine. I didn't have that plan on my packet.
No,
so,
I understand.
Okay.
Apologies, I didn't want to circulate that with public documents within the committee before because prevention of crime, don't want people knowing where CCTV cameras are.
Another question for you, so how is the CCTV managed? Is that for recording purposes only or is that continually used in real time and clips?
So the CCTV is not just recorded but it's also monitored at all times.
Thank you. And final question for me. Can you explain the role of the floor walkers, please?
So the floor walkers have a number of roles within the arcade. One is customer interaction, which we've discussed for those they consider people who may be displaying signs of problem gambling. It's also to ensure that nobody over the age of under the age of 18 gets into the adult gaming area. If somebody does manage to slip in, then their ID is checked immediately. It's also for ensuring that the machines are maintained, that there's no problems with them, that they're clear, kept clean, switched on, and they comply with the technical standards set out in the Gambling Act and issued by the Gambling Commission.
Thank you very much.
Are there any further questions, Councillor Beston?
Okay, thank you.
One point, I noticed you put the CCTV cameras up on the screen, Claire. I assume that it is us that's seen them and not the public at this point in time. If so, I can only assume that the cameras will be repositioned and this is just an idea as to how it will be. Could you confirm that, please, Claire?
The CCTV picture that I just put up didn't go out with the committee before. And my understanding is the recording of this will be audio only.
Okay,
so that information should not be in the public.
Okay. Thank you very much. I just needed to clarify that. Right, Councillor Howe, do you have any questions?
Yes, Chairman. Probably just one. The idea of supervising. I mean, if you see a sort of up to 12-year-old going in, you can spot them straight away. I'm more concerned about the ones that are bordering the age of 18. I understand that will they be checking ID as a regular thing?
Yes, I understand that that can be a serious problem, having children that have not long tipped over that age. BACSA actually has a Challenge 25 policy, which means that anybody who appears to be under the age of 25 will have their ID checked.
I mean, will it work in the same principle as we do with underage drinking and underage people buying cigarettes and tobacco products?
Yes, very much the same, yeah.
So will your staff be constantly being checked to make sure that they're abiding by your rules and regulations when these people come in?
Yes, so one of the things that that happens when you're a member of BACTA is that they do age verification spot checks. So they will send in underage, well not underage, but people who look underage, and staff are then tested that way to make sure that they are checking people's ID. That's a BACTA requirement.
The problem is these days that a lot of youngsters aged 16 look about 20 sometimes, you know.
Sure, I understand that. That's why we check anybody who appears to be under the age of 25.
Thank you very much.
Any further questions, Councillor Howe?
No, Chairman, thank you.
May I call you Debbie? Debbie, I just have a point on here. Will there be a door steward on the egress and exit of the gambling premise so that this can be checked? From some experience, if that isn't the case, then people could slip through. So would they be checked before they go in or not?
It wasn't the intention that there would be somebody permanently manning the door to check people in and out, but there are floor walkers and there is CCTV, and it is the intention that that will be sufficient to pick up anybody who would go into the area and stop them.
Okay, I hear what
you say. Before they have the opportunity to gamble.
Yes, I hear what you say, Debbie. Mr. Gard, do you have any questions to Debbie Boyard at this point? Mr. Gard.
Thank you, Chairman. Not any questions, thank you, but if I may, Chair, just a point of clarification.
Please.
Thank you. This meeting is a meeting held in public in accordance with the regulations, and just for clarity, the documents that we see on the screen are able to be seen by members of the public. I assume that is acceptable to the applicant on the basis that the document was invited to be shown. And I think it's sufficient, if members were minded to grant the application, that we leave that matter with the applicant to consider whether they may wish to rearrange the CCTV or indeed leave it in the location as they wish. It's just simply a point from me that as this is a meeting held in public, those documents were seen, but I take no particular issue with that unless the applicant has anything to say.
Debbie.
That's noted, and thank you for clarification on that.
Do you have any further questions, Ben, before I move forward?
No, thank you, Chairman.
Marie Bartlett, could you please, who is our clerk? Marie, could you please read out the statements received?
Can everyone hear me? Just checking. We have a comment from Ryde Society, she says, we would ask the committee to recognise that placing the adult gambling venue in a playground for children opposite a doctor's surgery in one of the most socially deprived areas of the country does not exact opposite of what the current legislation and the Isle of Wight's own gambling policy requires. The details of our objection have already been submitted. We ask that the application be refused.
Marie? Bear with us a moment, please.
Sorry, Chairman, someone's just pointed out that Michael Liddy hasn't spoken yet, but he's going to speak after the statements are read out.
Michael, I'll interject here. You're to speak after the written statements, Michael. Don't worry. Marie.
Okay, and we also received a statement from Maureen Martin, who is an objector. She goes on to say, I wish to register strong opposition to allowing adult gaming in this family-friendly leisure and child play area of Ryde Esplanade on every level of common sense. It is a prosperous proposal. It will change the whole ambience of the area and attract a wide clientele who could change the whole social dynamic of the area and be detrimental to the general public and particularly to the children. Apart from the Peter Pan play area, there are cafes, an ice cream parlour, typical seaside shops, a popular walkway along the marina, and access to the beach and skate park. It is unified whole of the kind of regeneration that we in this town are working so hard to achieve in line with the Isle of Wight Council's core strategy and the Ryde Town Plan's proposals to make Ryde a better place to live. The thought of gambling premises in that closed-in area during the summer months is deeply worrying. But most of all, the threat to children is paramount. The Isle of Wight Council's Gambling Act statement of principles is specific about protecting children from adult gambling in accordance with the Gambling Commission's own stated responsibility in issuing licences where children might be harmed. It does not say to keep children away from gambling, but I quote 3.9, the licence objective intends to prevent children and young persons from taking part in or being in close proximity to gaming. Such may include careful consideration of the sighting of cash machines. Further, 3.14, the licensing authority will consider in particular how they will protect children and prevent them from being in close proximity to gambling. The licensing authority should also consider that it is not the venue that is of concern, but the knock-on effect of its presence in and beyond Ryde. Once a precedent has been established, there will be no going back. Any proprietor who wants to attract more customers could install machines. Pubs, takeaways, amusement arcades throughout the island. The gambling industry has deep pockets, and the Isle of Wight Council has no financial means of controlling the possible worst case scenario of the island becoming an open sesame for the wrong kind of regeneration. I respectfully request that the committee act on the Isle of Wight Council's own Gaming Act principles and decide whether they can ignore the proximity of children to adult gaming in this location.
Thank you, Debbie, for that, Marie, for that. I appreciated that. I will now move on to Michael Lilly on behalf of the Ryde Town. Would you please like to speak with me?
Yes, can everyone hear me?
Yes, Michael, I can hear you.
I'm speaking as representing as the Mayor of Ryde, Ryde Town Council. Ryde Town Council discussed through its voluntary sort of statutory consultee requirements at its planning committee this application and agreed that Ryde Town Council's main concern is that the gaming area would be located within a facility that is designed for families and in particular children. It has various rides and things which you saw in the photograph and display by Claire Thomas. We consider it inappropriate to have an adult gaming area in such a location. Parties, Wrightown Council decided to object to the licence as it was contrary to the following licensing objectives under the Gambling Act 2005. One, protecting children and other vulnerable adults from being harmed or exploited by gambling. The application is for an adult gaming area. The difference between this and the normal low payout machines, there is a high level of addiction to gambling associated with these high cost, high payout machines. The proposal includes minimal segregation by way of swing doors and half hides glazed partitions to keep children away from the gambling area. Children are drawn to this sort of lighting, and that is synonymous with gaming machines, and will have full view of adults feeding them. This will have the effect of normalising gambling and familiarising young children to the idea of gambling. The important thing is that the main entertainments in this area are for very young children. In addition, this type of gambling is likely to bring adults who deal in drugs, abuse, drink and practice antisocial behaviour into contact with young children and give them the opportunity to influence them. In recent times, there has been quite a lot of police incidences within drinking in this particular area, particularly with the opening up of takeaway within that area as part of the COVID-19. In addition, this type of gambling is likely to bring, two, preventing gambling from being a source of crime or disorder, being associated with crime or disorder, or being used to support crime. Wrightown Council consider that this application for a new gaming facility in this area may well encourage gambling being associated with crime or disorder. The Council felt that given the existing incidences on the Esplanade of drug and abuse and antisocial behaviour, the introduction of high payout gambling machines in the area would further exacerbate the problem. Just the other particular thing I want to emphasise about vulnerable adults, the Isle of Wight, and particularly Wight, has a high proportion of adults and children with autism. There is clear evidence that children, particularly with autism, are attracted to gambling or machines, and that this has been an issue in other areas. So it's our concern that this is a family area. It is actually particularly targeted to young children, but also the constitution of many of the families in the area do have particular vulnerable children or adults that actually are childlike because of their disability within that. That's my particular case for why Wrightown Council objects and would put forward that to the committee we would like it refused.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That came over very clear. Mr. Gard, I'd like to just make it clear to members of the public and members of the committee, I am also a town and parish councillor. When this actually came up on planning, which I'm part of, I declared an interest and actually left the room and took no part in the proceedings. I wish to make that very clear. I now move forward with Councillor Beston first and then Councillor Howe. Do you have any questions to the Mayor, Michael Lilley? Michael?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'll repeat myself. It's probably the lag in the equipment. Do you have any questions, Councillor Beston, Michael, to the Mayor, Michael Lilley?
No questions, Chairman, thank you.
Councillor Howe, do you have any questions, John, to the Mayor, Michael Lilley?
No, Chairman, thank you very much.
Mr. Gard, do you have any comments you wish to make at this point to the Mayor?
No, Chairman, thank you.
Right. I would make a point at this juncture, and Michael, Mr. Mayor, and to all those that are listening in. The responsible authorities, I have the list here, licensing authority, no representation made. Gambling commissions, no representation made. Police, no representations made. Fire and rescue services, no representation made. Planning, no representations made. Environmental health, no representations made. Children's services, no representations made. HMRC, no representations made. I am surprised that there are no comments, perhaps more so from the police than any other. Am I still online? Something is going on. Am I still online? Oh dear, my battery's running low. Could you hold a moment, please?
No, it's fine. Carry on.
Yep.
And I will bring you over a lead.
Okay. I do apologise for this. We wasn't expecting to have to use this laptop. We was hoping to use a big screen. It's being plugged in now. If you just give yourself.
No, just carry on with meeting,
Charles. Okay, I can carry on. I'll just repeat myself, Mr. Gard. Just to go over. You have no further questions at this point.
Yeah, correct. Thank you, Chairman.
Okay. Right, I will ask third parties to sum up. The Mayor, Michael Lilly, you start. Would you like to sum up on what you have said, please?
I think that, as I've outlined, you know, we've particularly highlighted areas of the Act which we feel that this particular... why this particular license application should be refused. I am concerned that other agencies haven't actually raised concerns, but in fact is that Rye Town Council, that actually is on the ground, did actually raise. And I do think that we need to highlight and perhaps you need to refer that there has been a number of incidences literally in the last week of activity that actually conflicts with families that particularly walk in that area and use that facility within that. And I think that the adult gaming installation will just increase that. I'm not saying that other areas that could be suitable, but it's actually the fact that this goes out into a wider area in front of the harbour. It is near facilities which are with young children. So literally outside the door of this gaming facility, you will have very young children going round on rides or coming down slides within that, and I wish the members to actually take on board the fact that you are probably attracting parents of under 5-year-olds, right, that particular age group that are actually coming forward. And I think that's the unusualness of this particular location within that that area. And that's what I would just like you to think of in making your decision. Just think of those very young children and those families that are within that area. And also take on consideration that there are vulnerable children and adults, particularly with autism, that are attracted to these machines. And that it puts a temptation unnecessarily in an area that should be dedicated to families. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael Lilly, Mr. Mayor. I hear what you say. The applicant now sums up. Debbie Bollard, would you like to sum up for Floyd Hyatt?
Yes, I would. Just to sum up, the premises is going to be manned at all times. I'm also now informed that the cash box next to the adult gaming centre will be manned at all times, so that allays the fear you had, Mr. Chairman, about somebody being next to the entrance. But the fact is that the gaming machines that the adults are going to play on will be housed within the building, away from the majority of the play park. They will be screened off from the children, facing inwards. There's a sterile area as well, and swing doors, so children will not be able to see the machines. They're not going to be encouraged to play on them. They're going to be kept away from them completely. There's been no evidence adduced for this hearing today in support of any claim about autism attracting gambling. That may be the case, but I'm saying it's not being adduced today. Not had the opportunity to reflect and consider on that, if that is now the case. I'm also informed that Arcadia, which has a similar setup to that being proposed by my client, is in fact closer to the doctor's surgery than my client's premises is. And also the fact that there have been incidents recently along the Esplanade cannot be put down to the operation of my client's premises, because neither that nor our cable is open at the moment, and so I don't think that that should be relevant at this time. My client's intentions is to operate this premises compliant with the gambling legislation, the licensing objectives, the codes of practice, and the statement set out by the Isle of Wight licensing authority itself. And I would ask that the local authority and the committee take into account there are other similar facilities already on the island, and that there should be no reason for not granting my client's application. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Debbie Barber, for that. Before I go to Claire Thomas to sum up, Claire, could I confirm, before you sum up, that you would also, having heard all the evidence before us today, your recommendation changes from... I've got a dog barking. Michael, your dog is barking. I will start again. Claire, I would ask you to confirm whether, having heard all the evidence before us today, your recommend changes from that at paragraph 70 of your report. Can you confirm that before you sum up, Claire? Thank you.
Yes, my recommendation would not change. And I can explain the reasons for that in my summing up, if you...
Of course you will, yes, Claire. It was just something that I felt I'd like to ask you at this point, in view of the objections. Claire Thomas, would you like to sum up?
Chairman, before we talk to this, I did say at the beginning I would have liked to have asked Claire a question. Will I be able to still do that?
Yes, you may ask your question now, John. Please do.
Thank you, Chairman. We know that licensing within the council with underage drinking, buying alcohol, buying cigarettes, test buying, and I presume that the council now would know, as they've already had experience with these gambling areas, that they do regularly check up on these areas to ensure and maybe send young people in and test it out at the same time. Is that possible, Claire?
Yes, so we regularly inspect premises that are licensed under the Gambling Act 2005, and we go through the condition of their license and their training procedures and what have you. With regard to test purchasing, I'm not aware of any Gambling Act test purchasing that we've carried out, but that might be something that we could look into in the future, yes.
Well, I was thinking of sending young people, say 16 and 17, into these areas to make sure that they're being checked on, that they're not underage and being refused to attending.
Yeah, and that's something we can discuss with the Gambling Commission and also Trading Standards as well. We because that both parties will look at underage operations. I think we have done some in the past, a few years ago. But yes, that's definitely something we can look into doing again.
One more thing, Chairman.
Yes, please do.
I just wanted to make sure that the council, and within licensing, that A, they had enough staff to carry out this sort of regime to check up on it, and B, that they are able to act on it.
As I understand, that is the case. We do, and we do check up, and yes, we are very prominent in that area.
Okay, thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Claire, would you like to sum up, please? Claire?
Yes, sorry, I just had to unmute.
Sorry. Okay, so I'll just start that again. Claire Thomas, would you like to sum up for the licensing officer?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. If I can just remind, so just to put this into context, because it has been spoken about several times throughout the hearing, I just want to put the plan back up so everyone can see it at the same time.
Okay.
So this is a plan which shows that this will be the enclosed, an enclosed adult gaming area. So what you can see, there is an MDF wall with glass above it, which will be frosted, so you can't see within it. And then the barriers, which is clearly marked for over 18s only. I just wanted to share that to put it into context of what it does look like. I know there's been some talk about children being exposed to gambling. Obviously, gambling as an activity, you know, the machines are attractive, they're colourful, they're bright, and you know, they are essentially about gaming. And when carried out correctly, it is attractive and it's fun, it's an activity. However, yes, there are children and there are people who are vulnerable to those carrying out those activities in a detrimental way to their health and well-being. And that is precisely why it is regulated activity. That's why we have things like premises license, why the machines are categorised, to ensure that, or to try to ensure at least as far as possible, that people can participate in these activities in the way they're designed, you know, the way they're meant to be enjoyed, where they don't take on the detrimental effects of people's health and well-being. In this instance, for example, it is hidden from view. The machines will not be viewed, you know, the unlimited category D machines within the Family Entertainment Centre on the whole will obviously be viewed by children as they are designed for their pleasure. But the higher jackpot machines will be hidden from view behind this secluded area. There will be barriers and signage in place as shown. The area will be monitored by staff and by CCTV. And there needs to be effective staff training in place. The BACTA Association procedures that have been discussed today, that the applicant has referred to, do talk about that. Staff need to be able to spot the signs of unhealthy gambling activities that are happening, and be able to feel confident to question those with the person and assist them in any way possible. What we don't have under the Licensing Act, but we do have under the Gambling Act, is the provision to self-exclude, where if somebody does feel that their gambling activities are going beyond what would be considered safe and fun, and it's having a detrimental effect on them, their health or their finances or what have you, they are able to self-exclude and say, do not let me in here to play on these machines. And that is something that's also being explored, that if somebody does that in one premises, it would then also, it could be applied to the whole town or the whole area, the whole district. That is something that is being looked at, because at the moment people have to self-exclude from an individual premises, they could just go to the one up the road. And obviously if you do have a gambling addiction or an unhealthy habit of gambling, then that isn't necessarily helpful, because you have to then voice that several times that you want to self-exclude. So we do have that mechanism in place to exclude oneself from gambling premises and activities. And there is also a requirement, which again isn't under the Licensing Act, but we do have this under the Gambling Act, that leaflets are to be, you know, displayed. The awareness is to be raised that things like GAM care are available to people who might be suffering from the effects of unhealthy gambling activities. So there are those facilities in place. You know, there is the question of whether door supervision would be appropriate. In these circumstances, you know, the applicant has sort of highlighted that they have staff and they've outlined their staff procedures in relation to challenging, you know, and assisting people with gambling problems and also monitoring. In which case they would be effectively kind of essentially kind of carrying out that role. To go as far as to require SIA provision might not necessarily be proportionate in these circumstances, given that there are a number of other areas in another premises in the area that operate in a similar fashion, where you have a children's arcade but a secluded area for the adults. Again, as kind of outlined in my report, really, the issue of direct access is controversial. You know, it is a requirement that there is no direct access between a family entertainment centre and an adult gaming centre, and that is logical, and we can see the reasons why that would be. However, the Gambling Act gives no legal definition of what this means, and there is no case law on this nationally. It's never been tested as to what that means. It's therefore fairly widely accepted nationally that it can be as simple as the barriers that have been outlined, a different carpet area, something to distinguish. You are accessing a different premises now, a different location, and that has been widely accepted. And like I say, we have precedent on the island, fairly close by, even Arcadia, even across the road and on the Esplanade there. This is a national issue. That is not necessarily something that is exclusive to us on the island. You know, and I think we're all relatively in agreement that could be a potential problem there. But it's never been tested, and we have not gone as far as to say in our local policy we will not license things in that way. And we have allowed it in the past. So in terms of that, that is really why my recommendation remains to grant the licence. The committee, however, may take a different stance, as it is their decision. I think the matters I would obviously highlight is that they need to have regard to the Act. And there are also a number of conditions that will be attached to the licence which I've previously referred to. And the applicant must hold an operating licence issued by the Gambling Commission, which is separate from us. So they have to have that licence before they can even apply to us for the Adult Gaming Centre licence. And the applicant has successfully applied for that from the Gambling Commission and obtained that licence. That also outlines a number of conditions and matters they must comply with to continue to hold that licence if they comply with it. So in order to move on to fully summing up here, I think, you know, the subcommittee must have regard to all the evidence that they've heard today, the national guidance and the council's own statement of licensing policy. I would just like to remind the committee of the licensing objectives, if I may.
Yes, please do.
Please bear with me one moment. I'll get them up on the screen for you, as it's just a little bit easier sometimes to read. So the gambling objectives are to preventing gambling from being a source of crime or disorder, being associated with crime or disorder, or being used to support crime. Ensuring that gambling is conducted in a fair and open way. And protecting children and other vulnerable persons from being harmed or exploited by gambling. So the options that the committee have today are that they may grant the licence application, they may reject the licence application, or they may grant the licence with additional conditions or exclude a condition which would normally be attached to the licence. And just for again, repeating the reference, those conditions that will be attached to this licence if it is granted are at page B43 of the report. And also note that there are the codes of practice as well, which outline a number of requirements, including staff training, and age verification policy, etc. They will also be in place should this licence be granted. The subcommittee must determine the application in accordance with section 153 of the Gambling Act 2005, which states the authority shall only permit the use of premises for gambling insofar as they think it is in accordance with the relevant code of practice issued by the Gambling Commission, in accordance with any relevant guidance issued by the Gambling Commission, reasonably consistent with the licensing objectives, and in accordance with the Council's statement of licensing policy. Okay.
Yes, thank you. Okay, Claire, have you finished, Claire?
Yes, sorry, I did say thank you, Chair, sorry.
Oh, yes, we didn't, as you went off screen, I didn't quite catch that. Thank you, Claire. Right, we have now heard all the information the committee has now needed to take into place to go into private session to deliberate with their decision. This will take approximately 30 minutes. So you will go off, we will go offline, but you please stay online until we come back in about 30 minutes. Thank you.
Right, okay. Can I see this?
Bear with us, ladies and gentlemen, we're just sorting something out here.
Hang on, because you just...
Are we all excluded from this at the moment? Because I seem to be in this, and so does Councillor Lily.
Hang on.
Michael Lily.
Hang on.
Kev, you need to stay online, and so does Michael. I need to hang Charles up from this.
That's fine. I just didn't want you to start... discussing.
Yeah.
No, we wasn't going to... Kevin, we were just waiting to set this up.
Yeah, okay, cool. We'll speak to you in about half an hour.
Thank you very much.
Right, okay. You got nothing on the screen? Yeah, we're fine.
Right, I think
hang
we are now...
We're just waiting on John Howe.
Where's John?
Shall I invite him, Marie?
I already have, but... Not really, so it's calling him.
We haven't got John. I've got Michael, Ben and Samantha.
Yeah, yeah. We get older John.
He's in, I think. Was he in or is he calling?
No, it says it's calling him. He might have nipped away to the toilet. Oh, there he is.
Can you pop the sound up a bit, Marie, please?
Here you go.
I'm just waiting for John to come in.
Well, I thought I was in. Am I not in?
Yeah,
you are
in.
Yeah.
You're not old. There's no picture there, John.
But no, I've got no picture of anybody.
Have we got, is anybody still logged in to the original meeting?
No,
right,
I'm not.
We're just double checking this.
John Howe is still in it.
Oh, John, I think you're still in it by the looks of it. And Councillor Beston, are you still in the original? You have to press the red button to hang up.
Okay.
On the original. So if you.
Yeah, I got Michael still in the original meeting.
Okay, let me just.
That's not the original meeting, that's yours.
Can you hang John Howe up? Can we do it from there?
Not sure if I can.
I think we can.
We've got the holding screen up, so now we can see what's going on. So.
Just hold on a minute, because we can hang up. We think we can hang up from the producing side of things.
That would be helpful.
Yeah. Just to make sure everyone's hung up properly.
Yeah, we're just doing that now.
And then I'll give John Howe another call.
And so far, so good.
Oh, Michael Beston's gone.
Michael's gone, so...
No,
Oh, he's on hold?
No, he isn't. Yeah, he's probably got to get out of your other call.
Yeah.
I've got Ben and Samantha.
Yeah.
Are we all in private now, are we?
That's what they're just checking.
We're just waiting to confirm that we're all in private. Hello,
okay.
Michael.
Right, shall I invite John Howe again? Okay. I'll just run up and check.
Marie's just going to check.
Oh, someone's here. Thank you. Yes.
Right, am I anywhere near it now?
No.
I think that's better.
We've just confirmed that everyone who should be out of it is out of it.
And there's no picture for John?
Oh, I don't know, to be honest with you. John, have you got your camera on?
Yeah, hang on. No. I have now.
There you go.
There we are. I have John, Michael.